Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for All Access with Aditi. NFL on CBS. She has the Colts and Titans on Sunday, brought to you by Bet365. She had Steelers-Colts. She had Steelers-Broncos. And when we had Aditi on after that Week 2 game, one of her sideline nuggets was the way that Steelers players would go up to George Pickens and keep him engaged and reassure him and cheer him up if there was a drive where he didn't get the ball. And she described a very conscious effort by Steelers players to keep him motivated and keep him in good spirits. Well, I think we learned and found out why Sunday night against Dallas and everything we've seen since, the eye black script, the lack of effort on plays, Tomlin running interference and saying it was a load management thing, which was complete poppycock. And Aditi joins us right now. Aditi, you've seen this movie before. Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool. It feels like we're going through it again with George Pickens.
Maybe, but I would say this about Antonio Brown. He always gave every effort.
Yes, Chris has pointed out, too. Other than maybe like a play here or there, it was never as bad as it was with Pickens.
No, I mean, Antonio Brown would run over his mom if it meant getting in the end zone. So well,
I've always hated analogies like that, but I totally get what you're saying.
He
moms threw grandma under the bus. People say that.
I think of a different one.
Wrong. I disagree, Aditi. I like that because it conveys the seriousness with which he wanted to win. I like it.
Yes.
He drop-kicked a punter in the face once on a return.
True.
I mean, there's just, yes. What's frustrating, and look, there are mercurial players. We all have some quirks to us. None of us are perfect. And if we have a team around us, if we have teammates around us, if we have a coach around us who are willing to work with our quirks, okay, then so be it. I think what's sort of more difficult to forgive is the effort issue. And when you're not blocking, when a block would let Jalen Warren into the touchdown, well then you're not helping the team right there. If anything, you're harming the team. When you are going out of your way to be distracting in some way to create a distraction, like with the eye black, how are you helping your team? How is that bettering the cause? I think that that's the really difficult piece here.
Also, how does it go ignored by the coaches or not told, hey, take that off your face?
We've said this from the beginning. There are certain things that you put up with from certain people because of the production that they give you. And sure, we've seen games where George Pickens has had 100 yards, but we've seen a lot of games where he hasn't.
Like the fumble he had in the game you worked where he was holding that ball like a loaf of bread and cost his team points.
And so, again, I think that Mike Tomlin is always sort of doing the balancing act. It's, you know, how much are you worth? And we know that this is sort of the indication with Antonio Brown, that you put up with certain things until the production dips or the distraction becomes too great, and then you move on. And I think George Pickens needs to recognize right now his potential, sure, is through the roof. He's got all of the potential in the world. He could indeed potentially become, I keep using that word, potential, could indeed one day become a game breaker, but he's just not there right now.
Aditi, I wanted to ask you about not just Pickens, but also one other receiver, just because I happened to see this come down from Mark Caballi. He just kind of put two and two together. Like, one of the big complaints is there's nobody else to take attention away from Pickens. Roman Wilson was the 84th pick in the draft. He was a full participant today for his ninth consecutive practice, but they haven't played him in a game yet. And then Mark pointed out that Brandon Johnson got called up and made a catch in that game last week from the practice squad, but that he played zero special team snaps, which would usually be that their dodge for that, right? Well, he's a special teamer. What do you think is going on with Roman Wilson, where a practice squad guy got called up and didn't even play special teams, just seemingly was preferred by the coaching staff over a third-round pick?
I don't. You know what? I don't know enough about that to speculate. Are we sure that Roman Wilson is entirely healthy?
He is. Yeah.
Yeah. Full participant for nine straight practices.
That we know. That we know.
You know, it's interesting because I can tell you that the Broncos, who we had week one and week two, had two rookie receivers. And for some reason, the late round pick was active before the higher round pick was. You know, sort of the higher round pick was a healthy scratch. And in talking to members of that coaching staff, there was the feeling that the higher round pick did indeed have the higher ceiling, just maybe needed a little bit more time to come along. And maybe one of those guys that wouldn't be active right away, but when he came on would be a man of fire. And that made me think of Martavis Bryant. And so again, this is, it's speculation,
sure,
but it's not necessarily a death knell. This doesn't necessarily mean that, okay, Roman Wilson is not what they expected or isn't who they thought he was.
Aditi, let me ask you a question then, just based on one other thing I can think of that might be a mitigating circumstance. Just in your experience covering the Steelers, how much do they value a player just having played in NFL games before? Because Johnson did play for the Broncos and actually had a couple touchdown catches last year. Like, how much of a factor is that usually for Tomlin when he's talking about who to elevate or who to count on in a pinch, basically?
I think that matters a lot. And you look at what happens, you know, we've talked about it quite a bit, you know, the end of that Colts game and Mason McCormick, and did he tap, you know, whatever the tapping of Zach Frazier was for the snap on the silent count. You know, those are big moments, and until you've lived them, you don't really know what someone's going to do when the lights are on. It's a line that Mike Tomlin used with us about Justin Fields, that the more he's seen him in big moments, the greater he feels about him. It's finally actually witnessing it up close. And there's certainly a level of comfort with Mike Tomlin for guys that have been in those moments, that have been in those stadiums, have been there when the lights are on.
So I'm happy that you just brought up Fields, because I did want to get to what's going to go on Sunday. We just had Florio on and he said, oh yeah, Wilson's going to start if he was a full participant today, which I think contradicts what Tomlin said yesterday about Wilson working with the first team, or Wilson working with the second team at practice today, and a field still being prepped to start. But everyone, most NFL people I know who saw it, thought that what Melissa Stark reported on Sunday night with Wilson was a sign that something got said in a production meeting that made her think and that team think that Wilson was going to play this game on Sunday. You're in these production meetings. Do you think something like that could have actually gotten said that made her report that, Aditi?
I think it's not just her. You know, we heard Chris Collinsworth say that as well when he was, I think the way, and I'm paraphrasing here, so please forgive me, but I think the way that I heard him say it was that if you're rebuilding, then Justin Fields is an option. But if you're really trying to win right now, Russell Wilson has won a Super Bowl. Do you recall what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're like, you have the exact quote right, but it's close enough where I agree with you.
Yeah, something along those lines is what he had said. And again, please, everyone forgive me, I'm not quoting him directly. But the feeling that I got in saying that is that he clearly is saying he thinks the Steelers go further with Russell Wilson. I can only imagine that he came away feeling that way and Melissa came away feeling that way because of what was said in those meetings. Now, I can tell you this. I know that from the very beginning, one of the first things that Arthur Smith had said to us is that his number one goal was to make Justin Fields more confident. And I know that when we talked to Mike Tomlin week two and then again week four, Justin Fields' confidence was a piece of that. I would counter that with, the guy has been in a completely dysfunctional situation for a few years. He's finally here. He's getting some footing, but you're not fully cutting him loose. You're not letting him do everything that he possibly can. And you're never vouching that, yeah, he's doing a great job and he's going to hold on to this job. So confidence is such a tenuous thing. Justin Fields has said all the right things. Justin Fields has said that he doesn't want to give up the position, that he's, of course, going to do what the coaches ask of him, that he's getting rid of the ball so quickly because he knows he has to let the other guys like Najee Harris and George Pickens do the work for him, all of that. But by the same token, how confident can you be if you're kind of just waiting for another guy to get healthy? How confident can you be if your head coach is never saying, yep, you're doing enough to make this a conversation again? all your head coach is essentially saying is, well, it's not a conversation worth having because the other guy isn't healthy.
So reading tea leaves, it sounds like you, based on what you heard from them, you're starting to think Russell Wilson will probably play on Sunday too.
I mean, I'll tell you that hearing Chris Collinsworth and Melissa Stark, and I will say that, you know, obviously, I think you know this, that Melissa and I are extremely good friends and had conversation before and after the game and, mm-hmm. you know, talk about things that we think are storylines. I will tell you from conversations that I had week four, I find it a bit surprising. I talked to several members of the staff who felt very strongly about Justin and what he's doing and how he's playing within the offense and how he's growing and the potential that he has and the teammate that he is and all of those things. But by the same token, look, this Steelers offense, on the one hand, Mike Tomlin wants it to be ugly, but on the other hand, it's not giving you the explosives. It's not giving you the dynamic plays that you know you need. So you promised Russell Wilson the starting spot when he signed, or in order to effort his signing. Then all during training camp, you continued to say he was in the pole position. Your takeaway from camp was that, yes, Justin Fields made it debatable, but he didn't by any means run away with the job. He just made it debatable. And if it was going to be debatable, then the guy that was in pole position with the more experience and who had been promised a starting spot was going to get to start. And so now Justin Fields has played well, but he has not set the world on fire. So I think it's very fair that Mike Tomlin wants to see what he has in Russell Wilson. There's a reason, whatever the reason was, there's a reason that he promised him the starting job when, quite frankly, Kenny Pickett was still on his roster. And 2 weeks prior, he had told Kenny Pickett, we're going to do everything to support you better than we have since you've been here.
Aditi, you have Tennessee and Indianapolis. Say hi to Mason Rudolph for us on Sunday.
Well, you know, I was really, really hoping that I was going to get to see Mason, but it sure sounds like Brian Callahan's going to go with Will Levis.
You'll see Mason by about the early second quarter, Aditi.
You know, I saw Andy Dalton. I saw Joe Flacco. I figured I was due. I saw Andy Dalton engineer a win. I saw Joe Flacco engineer a win. I thought it was time to see another one of my old AFC North friends engineer a win.
Aditi, I'm going to tell you this about Levis. He's obviously a phenomenal athlete. Some of the turnovers he has committed this year, if you grafted me into that situation, I would have done essentially the same thing he did, just like whipping the ball over my head blindly. Like, it's ugly. I don't know how they can start him for more than another game.
Yeah,
it ain't good.
Enjoy it, Aditi. We'll talk again next week.
We'll report back to you next week.
See ya.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.